Judging by the mood at a big Vegas conference, this is not the year of the hedge fund. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. What's called the SALT Conference in Las Vegas concludes today when the hedge fund industry gathers to discuss innovations in their industry. The headwinds were blowing quite stiffly this year. The Wall Street Journal quotes an influential hedge fund manager at the conference saying funds are, quote, under assault. Some may get out of the business altogether, where performance has sometimes been disappointing given the fees that are charged. On Fridays, we check in with Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
There's this big hedge fund conference at the Bellagio in Vegas every year, and usually I understand it's quite a party. But the accounts I have seen from the one this week is, what are they, playing a funeral dirge over there? It's certainly a little less exuberant, shall we say.
It's one of those things where all these managers show up and their customers are not happy. Nobody's making enough money to offset the enormous fees they charge.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you were telling me earlier about, if you think about it in mathematical terms.
Yeah, that's right. The whole point of hedge funds is to take advantage of inefficiencies in the market. The thing is, it gets more and more difficult as more and more players enter the game. And there are so many hedge funds compared to 10 years ago. They are so big compared to 10, 20 years ago that the inefficiencies are not necessarily gone, but they disappear in the blink of an eye. In the meantime, we are seeing some really huge investors, including state funds that put billions into these, realizing that they could actually do better with traditional money managers.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Chinese, thinking of CalPERS, the state employees fund out in California. Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you for the briefing.
Thank you, David.
There's a $10 million experiment going on in New York City here that could mean fewer of us will end up in the hospital. Over the last year and a half, Mount Sinai Hospital has started treating some patients at home, and early data suggests this works pretty well. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports on a concept that could spread.
Home health workers meet Alicia Perez at her door. The 82-year-old has high blood pressure, diabetes, hypertension, and vision problems. And a few weeks back, a urinary tract infection. Fragile patients like Perez typically go from the ER to the hospital, often as a precaution that cost $8,500 for admission and treatment at Mount Sinai. Instead, Perez opted to get treated by Mount Sinai staff in her Upper West Side high-rise apartment for about $1,500 less. She speaks through a translator.
I have lots of people from this team come to my home. They even gave me IV fluids, and they've been checking my blood pressure, my pulse.
For 20 years, a few hospitals in the VA have offered a hospital-at-home program. It's designed for people who have a solid diagnosis like pneumonia, dehydration, or congestive heart failure. Over the years, studies show patients are 19% more likely to be alive 6 months after receiving treatment at home. Mount Sinai's Dr. Al Su says the promise here is obvious.
We've known that we can do this, but we haven't been able to disseminate this because there's no way of paying for this.
Halfway through the three-year project, Mount Sinai's data suggests the hospital saving money and cutting readmissions. Medicare is watching closely, but Carrie Decker, who runs a hospital-at-home program for Presbyterian Healthcare Services in New Mexico, says replicating this work is tricky.
Somebody's putting a shingle up that they do hospital at home, and yet when things start to go sideways, they don't end up being available to that patient.
In other words, hospital-at-home programs raise safety and fraud prevention challenges. When it works, though, Alicia Perez says it's the kind of care we all want.
Being at home, you can save way more money, you're going to be more comfortable, and you're going to be well taken care of.
She says the hospital may be magnificent, but the home is way better. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Hi, I'm David Brancaccio. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. A lot happens while you sleep, so each morning we bring you the latest numbers on markets, money, jobs, and innovation, plus the context I think we all need to make the smartest decisions. We'd like you to help us keep our numbers strong by making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace. And this month, your gift in any amount will be automatically doubled thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate today at marketplace.org. President Obama is welcoming the leaders of five countries, Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden, at the White House today. The Nordic Summit will look at global conflicts and the European refugee crisis. And as Jed Kim reports from Marketplace's sustainability desk, climate change is on the agenda, too.
It's sometimes easy to forget that the U.S. is an Arctic nation as well, what with Alaska up there. With warming accelerating in the far north, some have an environmental wish list for today's meetings. Kathleen Kelly is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. She says Obama is working to solidify his legacy on climate change.
Every moment where he's sitting down with world leaders is a moment to drive more action, and he knows that, and we've seen that in his other recent bilateral deals.
Deals with China, Argentina. The U.S. has taken a step towards a pledge with Canada to reduce methane emissions from oil and gas. Yesterday, the EPA announced final standards limiting those emissions. Here's EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy.
The actions we're announcing will help combat climate change. It will reduce air pollution that directly harms public health. And it will make sure that the oil and gas industry can continue to operate safely and responsibly.
Critics of the new standards say they're anti-energy. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Another story we're following today, word that the same cyber thieves who got into the international banking system using the computers at the Central Bank of Bangladesh also breached the system a second time elsewhere. The SWIFT system lets banks communicate and transfer money. Also today, a big European cybersecurity firm says it's found a link between software used in these attacks and the notorious theft of data from the computers of Sony Pictures back in 2014. If you miss our coverage on the air, it's at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.